How do we respond to loss? Surviving grief, even maybe thriving from it, is one of life's great challenges. It can be made a little easier by understanding how people in the past have handled their own grief, especially when those people are great thinkers and writers who can provide us with helpful models. In the book, Three Roads Back, How Emerson, Thoreau, and William James Responded to the Greatest Losses of Their Lives, the late biographer Robert D. Richardson examines the stories of these great American writers and philosophers, drawing lessons all of us can use to manage loss in our own lives. Robert was a historian and biographer who passed away in 2020. His former student, philosopher John Kagg, joins us to share some of the book's big ideas.
My name is John Kagg. It is my pleasure to discuss Robert Richardson's Three Roads Back, How Emerson, Thoreau, and William James Responded to the Greatest Losses of Their Lives. This book was written during Bob Richardson's last years. Bob passed away before it was published. The book is introduced by Megan Marshall, and what I'd like to do is to provide just a little bit of a sense about who Bob Richardson was first, and then a sense about the book on the whole. And then I'd like to provide three, what I take to be key insights, and then two ancillary insights from the book. Bob Richardson was among the most gracious academics I have ever encountered, one of the nicest people I've ever met. Over the course of 30 years, he wrote three magisterial intellectual biographies, one of Ralph Waldo Emerson, one of Henry David Thoreau, and one of William James, figures who are at the core of the American philosophical canon, both American transcendentalism with Thoreau and Emerson in the 1830s, and then William James, writing the 1870s and 1880s, spearheading what has come to be known as American pragmatism. As an academic, Bob encouraged young writers and students like me to write and to research with their own minds. He didn't produce graduate students in his own image, as many academics do. And his is an example that I think is particularly useful in this academic setting. Bob's life as an academic revolved around Emerson, Thoreau, and William James, and Three Roads Back, I've come to think of, is a sort of distillation or condensation of the three primary intellectual biographies that Richardson spent so much time on. What I find particularly interesting about this book is that it focuses on one of the more elemental or essential facts of being human, that we face loss and tragedy every day, that life is the process of letting go and losing grip, and a large part of life involves learning how to lose grip, how to let go with grace and courage and resilience. In large part, that's what Three Roads Back gives us. It's a sort of threefold how-to manual about how to deal with our own losses, using Emerson, Thoreau, and James as key examples. Now, for the insights. The first and primary insight of Three Roads Back is that Emerson, Thoreau, and James were in large part responding to a very old theological or philosophical problem, namely the problem of evil. Theologically framed, this problem really amounts to the fact that bad things happen to very, very good people, and why would an all-powerful, all-knowing, and omnibenevolent God allow these things to happen? For Emerson, Thoreau, and James, bad things did happen. They oftentimes are described as sort of ebullient, Promethean, forward-looking, optimistic philosophers. But we oftentimes miss that these individuals, these thinkers, their thoughts emerge from almost utter darkness. For Emerson, his first encounter with darkness was probably with the death of his own father to stomach cancer when Emerson was just a boy. But then really, this tragedy that Richardson looks at in Emerson's life is the loss of his first wife, Ellen, when she was only 19. With Thoreau, we have the loss of his brother, John, who contracts gangrene and dies of lockjaw in Henry David Thoreau's arms. With William James, we have the loss of his cousin, Minnie Temple. In all three cases, these thinkers respond to loss and tragedy and need to understand or need to sort of come to grips with evil. Evil being this sort of seemingly senseless fate that humans take from birth to the grave very quickly, unexpectedly, brutally. And what's interesting about Emerson and Thoreau and William James, and here's the first insight, is that the problem of evil can be responded to on a non-theological, or at least a non-traditionally theological, framework. Working in the 19th century, thinkers like Emerson, Thoreau, and James did not have recourse to the sort of strict Calvinist or strict Protestant theology of the previous century, and each of them in their own ways is trying to figure out how human life can be worth living, how human life can be beautiful and redeemable, despite the darkness that each of us face. Second insight, this one comes from Emerson. After the death of Ellen, at the age of 19, young Emerson was at that point a minister at Second Church in Boston. And Emerson struggles with traditional theology. And in fact, he leaves the church very rapidly after the death of Ellen. One of the more gruesome points in Emerson's life was his pilgrimages back and forth between Boston and Roxbury to see Ellen's grave. On one of these trips, Emerson uncovers the tombstone and looks into the sort of grave, and at that point decides to leave the church. Months after that, we find Emerson in Paris examining the plants in the town or city gardens. And here's the insight, that nature, which seems so tooth and claw, which seems so brutal, which seems to take people from us when we least expect it to, like Ellen, for example, is in fact redemptive. This is what Emerson discovers in the garden in Paris. And this is a moment that Richardson articulates very nicely. Emerson says that we must return to nature if we are to return and save ourselves. This return to nature reveals both the beauty, but also the discipline and commodity of nature. And we are to find some sort of respite, some sort of comfort in the fact that nature has a particular order, a beautiful one. That's the sort of root of the word cosmos, according to Emerson, but also the ancient Greeks. Henry David Thoreau, after watching his brother die, took a couple of months and then took off for his very famous trip to Walden. We should understand Walden not only as a sort of tree-hugging manifesto, but as a certain type of elegy for a loved one, namely his brother, John. The insight that Richardson gives us regarding Thoreau is similar to Emerson's, but I think significantly different, at least in one aspect. Richardson instructs us to pay attention to the fact that Thoreau, when encountering loss and tragedy, encourages us not only to explore the beauties of nature, but rather its wildness. In wildness is the preservation of the world, according to Thoreau. Now, how do the wilds and returning to the wilds, as opposed to sort of beauty and order, how does this actually help us respond to lack, loss, suffering? For Thoreau, I think returning to the wilds is at least in part an effort to acquaint ourselves with the harsher aspects of nature, to give us a sort of spring training for what will, for all of us, be a rather difficult season of life, namely the times that we have to face the harsh realities of loss and tragedy. The wilds and attending to the wilds is a sort of preparation, a propedeutic to this sort of toughness. That's one aspect. Thoreau also believes that the wilds allow us to think very carefully about what is most common between us, the sort of utter particularities, the singularities, the extraordinariness of us in each of our person. And I think that that is one aspect that Emerson encourages us to think about in Self-Reliance, for example, but Thoreau really pushes us to think through in our encounter with nature and, for that matter, our own nature. William James encounters loss and tragedy in losing Minnie Temple, his dear cousin, at a very tender age. At this point, James is struggling with anxiety and depression and does so through his 20s and 30s. The death of Minnie Temple brings this depression and anxiety to a head, a sort of despair that life is fated to a deterministic, way of thinking, that we're all fated to the end. James responds to Minnie's death with what would become a central feature in his philosophy. Richardson describes it as follows. He says, "This conclusion that life, meaning what is real and what is good, exists in self-governing resistance of the ego to the world, is the central insight, the pivotal moment of William James's life." Richardson suggests that with William James, we find, and this is why I called it a sort of ancillary thought after Thoreau's main point about wildness, that for William James, the way to respond to loss is to exert ourselves in the time that remains, in the time that we have left. We oftentimes think about James's philosophical defense about free will, but we oftentimes miss the fact that this exercising of free will is a response to the difficulties and tragedies of human finitude, of the fact that we have to face a certain demise, the demise of ourselves and the demise of others. And this should create a certain impetus, a sort of impulse to exercise our wills in creative ways in the time, the very short time we have left. Let me leave you with a last and final point about Three Roads Back. Richardson is among the most humane, human, down-to-earth intellectual historians. In Three Roads Back, we get to see three figures who struggle through their own little corners of hell in their own particular ways. This should give us some insight about loss and human finitude. I take this as Richardson's gesture that loss and tragedy is, in one sense, perfectly singular. You go through your little corner of hell, and I go through mine in a very, very unique way. That is the nature of suffering. We all live alone, we all suffer alone, and we all die alone in a certain sort of existential sense. But here is the strange suggestion that I take from Richardson's beautiful Three Roads Back. It is that each of us are sort of in the same boat in our feelings of alienation, in our feelings of isolation, in struggling as best we can to make it through with loss and tragedy. He gives us William James, Henry David Thoreau, and Ralph Waldo Emerson as guides, certain types of Virgil figures, but he is very much aware that the hells that we go through are our own to face. This is a type of particularity that I really appreciate in Bob's last work. He will be absolutely missed. Thankfully, he's given us some guide to handle the loss.
Thank you, John. That was John Cagg offering five big ideas from Three Roads Back, How Emerson, Thoreau, and William James Responded to the Greatest Losses of Their Lives by Robert D. Richardson. You might also want to listen to our book bite for Grief is Love, Living with Loss by Marissa Renee Lee. I'm Michael Kovnat. Thanks for listening.